Savior like a shepherd lead us. Beautiful song. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. And don't procrastinate doing it. The problem of laziness. Proverbs chapter 6. One would almost think that this would be an unusual subject. Why in the world would God bring this up in the Bible? Actually, there's quite a bit in the Bible about it. I guess it's well accepted that laziness is kind of just a problem, not really a sin. Amen? Especially if you happen to feel a little lazy every now and then. It's hard to know how to feel about this subject. There's some strong condemnation for people who are lazy. And there's some good advice. There are two Hebrew words. One, the word atzel, is used about 16 times in its various forms. And another one, rafa, used several times, which kind of has the idea of being faint or feeble. But atzel, the word that appears most in Proverbs, is just downright lazy. You don't really feel motivated to do anything. I could ask for a show of hands about how many of you feel that way. But what we're going to do tonight is examine the characteristics of laziness and look at some consequences of such attitudes and to finally give a cure for it. So let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6 and we'll read verses 6 to 11. And then I want you to turn to chapter 24 and verses 30 to 34. Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. I remember when a child, the first time I read that, I thought how awful that God would talk that way. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Surely he means somebody other than you who are reading it, doesn't he? Go to the ant, you sluggard. That's what it says. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a robber and your need like an armed man. Chapter 24, please. Chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So your poverty will come like a prowler and your want like an armed man. The first time I remember ever hearing about this was from my mother. And I remember it well. I was definitely wanting to sleep in, and I had a job to do. And my mother came into my room, woke me up. I was just a little kid. And she read me this passage and walked right out of the room. Bothered me all day. Slothful, sluggard, lazy. God has a lot to say to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and the instruction it gives us. And as we face another proverb and another problem, help us, Lord, to face it with an honest heart and an openness before you. God, help us to see this tendency in all of our hearts. And I pray that you will rekindle in us the flame of devotion and dedication to Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and go back to Proverbs chapter 6, I'd like to list for you some characteristics of laziness or the slothful person or the sluggard, the one who just isn't real excited about anything. Now, after you've worked hard, I tell you, the bed can feel sweet. Amen. After a long day, when you're just really exhausted, you put your head on that pillow and it really feels wonderful. And many the morning that we wake up wishing we could stay just a little bit longer in that bed. In Proverbs chapter 6, the following characteristics of a sluggard, of somebody who's lazy. Number one, he depends on others to give direction. He depends on others to give direction. What we say tonight might surprise you, might show you how all-encompassing is the problem of laziness in our midst. Proverbs 6, verse 7 says, "Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, does her work." An ant doesn't need anybody to give direction. And one of the greatest needs we have in the Christian life today, in my opinion, are people who know what God wants them to do and who do it without anyone telling them what to do. Happy the parent whose kids decide to do what they ought to do without being pressured and constantly, so to speak, kicked in the pants to get going for God. I believe that we need to understand how motivation needs to come from our hearts before the Lord to do what God wants us to do and not wait for somebody to give us direction in doing it. It's a characteristic of a sluggish heart, a lazy heart, when we depend on others for direction. Number two, Proverbs 6, 8. The characteristic of laziness, he fails to plan ahead. The ant that we're supposed to go to and learn from provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So the ant is ready when there's cold in winter and the ant can't go out looking for food. So it prepares ahead of time. A sluggard is someone who fails to plan ahead. Someone, according to Business Weekly, paid $250,000 to a major company to find out how they could work more effectively in their corporation. The result of that study of $250,000 was the suggestion that each employee have a things to do list. $250,000, and from that day on, you can buy a little pad in the average stationery store that says things to do. And we've been told over and over again about things to do, about planning ahead, about laying plans for the future. A sluggard never plans ahead. A slugger wings it, for Jesus' sake, amen? Just kind of cruises through life and lets it all happen. Doesn't really think or plan at all. Number three, turn to Proverbs 24 again, verse 30 and 31. A characteristic of a sluggard, a slothful person, lazy, he not only depends on others to give direction and fails to plan ahead, but he neglects to care for what he has. You can always tell a slugger by looking at the front lawn. Now you might say, well, he didn't do the lawn. Someone else forgot to do it. Regardless, somebody has a sluggish heart. In Proverbs chapter 24, it says in verse 30, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns, its surface covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down." He neglects to care for what he has. That is a sluggard. Number four, turn back to Proverbs chapter 13. A fourth characteristic of somebody who's lazy is that he desires things but does not work for them. He wants to have things, but he doesn't want to work for them. I read that in an airline magazine about how to get ahead in business. It said we had to work smarter, not harder. And it said you can get a lot of things in life that you don't have to work for them if you just know how to do it. Well, God has some words for that kind of a person. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. "The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." God blesses hard work and diligence, and God condemns the person who just desires but doesn't do anything about it. Turn to chapter 21, verse 25. Chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 25. "The desire of the slothful kills him." Why? "For his hands refuse to labor." There it is. That's why some people are eaten alive by desire that's unrealized. They never accomplish their goals in life. Their ambition far excels their desire to work. And I think that's basically true about all of us. We all would like to see wonderful things happen to us without any effort. Who wouldn't? We say of some people who seem successful, whatever he touches seems to turn to gold. I was reading a report of a corporation in real estate. The young executive who manages this particular corporation has, before the age of 30, become a multimillionaire. He has done so well. A fellow employee who had just started in that company was curious about how this gentleman, before the age of 30, became so successful in real estate. And he answered, hard work. Hard work. He beats the bushes. He doesn't stop. He keeps at it all the time. And of course, there's always someone who comes along and writes an article, usually about how dangerous is a workaholic, to hand to him. It's almost like we are on a crusade, especially in this culture now, to prove that we can be successful with the littlest amount of effort possible. In a recent business magazine, it said the number one desire of Americans in the workforce today is more leisure time. The time is now the great commodity that is more important than money even. We want to work less hours and have more fun in between. Work is no longer a good thing. Work is an evil. Work is something you tolerate in order to get your paycheck, in order to buy the things that you want to get in life. So we go to work on Monday morning with a bad spirit. Oh no, Blue Monday again. I got to get up and go to work. If you leave church tonight, you say, hey, what's your week look like? Well, I got to get up. That's one thing. You know, I mean, it's like we're bad-mouthing the whole issue of work. And what we ought to have as believers is a desire to go to work. What's going to happen to you tomorrow? Man, I can't wait. I'm up at 5 in the morning. We're going to work. Praise God. I tell you. Now, you meet somebody like that, you hate them so much, you don't know what to do. You know, you just want to hit them or something to straighten them out a little bit. A lazy person is somebody who desires a lot, but simply does not work for it. You apply that to the spiritual realm, and you'll see the reason why a lot of us do not bear fruit in our lives. Number 5, turn to Proverbs 19. A fifth characteristic of a lazy person is he puts forth no effort to meet basic needs. He puts forth no effort to meet basic needs. Now, you're going to have to really filter through carefully what I'm going to say tonight about the hungry and the homeless. But I've met a lot of hungry and homeless. And there are some that are really in need, who seriously lost their job. But there are some of them that I don't believe we should give food or work to because they won't work. I've met some right here in our community who have become professional panhandlers and love to laugh about it. And every time I see them now, they run the other way. I just get sick and tired of that, and so do you. And yet there's some real needy people that get hurt in the process. There's a tremendous amount of people that are hurting, and now what I'm observing is more families, women and children involved in the hungry and homeless. And some of these panhandlers make it tough in terms of people who really want to care, and they run into these charlatan types. And they sit there and they make money off of doing nothing. And they laugh about it. They joke about it. We here have a system at our church. We deal with the hungry and homeless here all the time. We have a staff member who devotes time to it. And we have found a lot of people, we have agreements with businesses in our neighborhood to give them job at minimum wage. And the first thing they say is, oh, I don't work for minimum wage. Really? And yet you're hungry and homeless. In Proverbs 19:24, it says, a slothful man, a lazy man, buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I love God's vivid illustrations. Here's a guy, he's going to eat. He's got the bowl of food in it, and he sticks his hand in it. This is before silverware. Sticks his hand in that baby, and he is so lazy, he doesn't want to bring it up. Somebody's going to have to come and lift the food up and stuff it into his mouth. I mean, is that graphic or is that graphic? Turn to chapter 26, verse 15. Chapter 26, verse 15 says, the slothful man, by the way, the word slothful, sluggard, all of that, it's all the same Hebrew word. The slothful man buries his hand in the bowl, and here it says it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. What is the characteristic of laziness? Puts forth no effort to meet basic needs. Now will you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians, and let me tell you what God says about that. 2 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. What God says about people who put forth no effort to meet basic needs. who desire things in life but won't work for them. Here's what God says, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That is a fascinating passage, is it not? As it relates to the whole business of society, we have scores and scores of people now who just don't want to work. But they want us to feed them. And God says they don't work, they don't eat. And that's different from somebody who can't get a job and can't work. But friends, there are plenty of people who are able to work and simply won't. And we have found that. It's also embarrassing when you go to a business and set the whole program up and then take somebody there, then they find out it's minimum wage and they will not work. That is a shock. And it's really interesting when you look at what God says versus what we have going on in society right now. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 10. Another characteristic of laziness is that a person who is lazy is not reliable. Is not reliable. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Once again, a vivid illustration. He's not reliable at all. He's just going to cause trouble, that's all. A sluggard to those who send him. Send him on a mission, and he's so lazy he won't even carry it through. You can't trust him to carry it out, and it will not be accomplished. Turn to chapter 20, verse 4. Anybody get any idea? This is rather negative. Proverbs 20, verse 4 gets worse. A characteristic of a lazy person is he does not respond when facing hardship. When there's a crisis or something that's an obstacle or a hardship, that's when he folds and he quits. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow because of winter. Therefore, he will beg during the harvest and have nothing. He's not going to do it because it's winter. It's too cold outside. It's snowing out there. Like the fellow said, honey, I love you with all my heart. And nothing can keep me away from you. And I'll be over tonight if it doesn't rain. A sluggard does not respond when facing hardship. Turn to chapter 22, please, verse 13. A sluggard, a lazy person, a slothful person, makes excuses for his lack of involvement. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The slothful man says, there's a lion outside. I should be slain in the streets. I can't go out there. A slothful person makes excuses for lack of involvement. And sometimes they're really ridiculous. Look at chapter 24, please, verse 30. A sluggard, according to the Bible, lacks understanding. He's not thinking clear, certainly not with God's thoughts. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. In chapter 26, verse 13, the slothful man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion is in the streets. Obviously, he does not have clear understanding. I love what it says in chapter 26, verse 14 to 16. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the slothful turn on his bed. The slothful man buries his hand in the bowl, wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So one of the characteristics is he lacks understanding, but a tenth characteristic is that he thinks he's wise. A lazy person always thinks he's smart. He's wise in his own eyes. Turn to Proverbs 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. A lazy person destroys the work that has been done. That's the sad thing. Someone may have worked hard to do something for the Lord, or for his family, or something else. A lazy person can come in and destroy quickly what has been done over a long period of time. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." I wonder if I asked you, how many of you work with a lazy person? Somebody you know who's just lazy at work. Probably almost everybody would raise their hand. But I wonder if the person you're talking about would also raise his hand about you. Lazy. Slothful. Sluggard. Turn to Proverbs 24:10. One characteristic, and we'll get off of this, but looking at a lazy person from God's point of view is very insightful, because there's a tendency in all of us to be like this. And one other characteristic is that he does nothing in adversity. When things are really tough, you can't count on this person at all. Interesting comparison, by the way. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity, but not a lazy person. Chapter 24, please, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And that's the tragedy about a lazy person. You cannot count on them in difficult times. They're not reliable. They're lazy. What are the consequences of being lazy? Proverbs 19, please, verse 15. One of the consequences is you sleep when it's time to work. You sleep when it's time to work. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness or laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. You're sleeping when it's time to work, and you're going to pay a consequence for that. Turn over to Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes, just past Proverbs. And look at chapter 10, verse 18. Another consequence means that we see often mentioned in the Proverbs is mentioned here in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. And that's deterioration. That's one of the consequences of being lazy. Everything deteriorates. Everything falls apart. That can happen in an organization, in a management field. You can have somebody in the structure who is lazy, and it all falls apart at that point. It deteriorates. You can have that in construction as well. You can have a lot of guys working hard on a project, put a lazy person in there, and things will deteriorate. In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18, it says, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks." You know, I saw this in a community several years ago that really blessed my heart. It was a community that was going down. I mean, deteriorating. I don't know if God just put all sluggards in one block, but it was going down. Everybody's house was a mess. Every house looked like it needed painting. Every yard looked like it needed mowing. It was a disaster area, and it was getting worse. Then people, of course, called it a ghetto and then had judgments upon the people that lived there. In that particular community, God placed a dear couple who loved the Lord and saw the tragedy of all this, but they were able to buy, obviously, quite cheap in the neighborhood. They bought a home in that neighborhood, and they just started working, like, every weekend. Painting, cleaning, doing the yard, so forth. One of the funny things that you could see driving to that neighborhood, which I was accustomed to do, is you could see other people in the neighborhood standing outside with their hands in their pocket watching these people. You could just see it on their faces, you know. Who do these people think they are? Look at them out there working. And I'll tell you that one couple, in a short period of time, it wasn't just months, it went on about a year and a half, literally turned that neighborhood around. And all of a sudden, different people started doing things to their home. And before you know it, that neighborhood all of a sudden became very clean and nice looking. All because a few people decided to work instead of being lazy. Wouldn't it be great if people all over America and every ghetto we've got all of a sudden decided to do that? I was really challenged when we were in New York City for a radio rally in a facility that was really in a bad neighborhood. A church where its wall had graffiti on it almost every day. I was pretty challenged, I want to tell you, with a pastor and his people who went out there and rubbed that baby off and painted it every time the graffiti went. They had done it, was it 35 times in 1 month? 35 times in 1 month all over the side of this building. They redid the whole thing and painted again, only to have him do it. And I said to him, don't you get tired of that? He said, yes. He said, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. And I thought to myself, boy, there's a man who has a laziness in his blood. There's a man who knows what to do. And the inspiration, everything in that church and its ministry was booming because that man was not lazy. And he saw a problem and he was there. He was born, as it were, for adversity. And I watched that and the effect upon the community and the people. It was really powerful. And once again, understand that laziness produces deterioration, always, whether it's in building and properties or personal lives. Be careful. Turn to Proverbs 15, please, verse 19. Proverbs 15, verse 19. Another consequence of laziness is what we call thorns in the way. Trouble in the path that God has for you. In Proverbs 15, 19, it says, the way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. It's all cleared off. But the way that a slothful man walks is like a hedge of thorns. Nothing but problems in it. And it needs to be cleared away. Look over chapter 22. Proverbs uses thorns as an allegory or an illustration. Proverbs 22, verse 5. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. So obviously thorns takes on a spiritual impact. Not simply the literal thorns in our way, although that would be an example of somebody who hasn't cleared it, cleared a path to walk through. But he's talking about our lives. That can happen to your soul. And he who guards his soul will be far from them. If you don't guard your soul, you're lazy, even about your spiritual life, there will be thorns and traps and snares in your way. Isn't it interesting what the next verse is? All you parents, listen up. What is the next verse? Train up a child in the way he should go. In Proverbs, the way the Lord wants you to go is contrasted with the way of the wicked. The way of the righteous with the way of the wicked. The way of the diligent with the way of the slothful. The way of the perverse with the way of character and integrity. Interesting that that's what's true here. The way of the perverse is in verse 5. The way of the Lord is in verse 6. And parents are to train their children in the way and not be lazy and slothful in training their children. Otherwise, there'll be thorns and snares in the path of the child because the parent, in fact, is lazy. Terrible consequence. So lazy that when you come home at night, you don't have any time to spend with the children. So lazy and indifferent that you don't have time to discipline a child when he needs it in a godly manner, or to ever teach the child the way of the Lord. And many parents don't know that this problem of laziness is what Proverbs is about and how it can affect the life of your child. I've wondered, as I look at my generation raising my kids and then looking at them and how they're going to raise their kids and then remembering about how I was raised, it's almost like America is on a slide. We're getting more lazy all the time. I can remember at age 10 knowing I needed a job. And I went out and got one. I remember going to school one day and a kid was showing me his allowance. I didn't even know what it was. I went home and asked my dad about that allowance. I said, these kids get an allowance. He said, well, what did they do? I said, I don't know. Well, you find out what they did. So I went back the next day and I asked the kid, I said, what'd you do to get that? He said, nothing. I get this every week. For doing nothing? Yeah. So I went back to my dad and I said, Dad, they get an allowance for doing nothing. He said, well, that's going to ruin their life. He said, you certainly wouldn't want me to do that for you, would you? Well, I knew he was going to be no help, so I went out and got a job. I didn't know what it was from age 10 on, not to work and to believe that it was a blessing in life. But I've watched this in society, and some of you with more gray hair than I've got, you know, things are on a slide. How are we going to turn this around? Well, one thing we got to do is parents have got to stop being lazy in training up a child in the way he should go. We've got to start being more dedicated to the Lord in what we do. It's a powerful illustration, isn't it? Almost like we want to run away from that one. But there it is, just sitting there, staring at us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I guess one of the most positive or frequent characteristics of laziness, I wouldn't say it's positive at all, but one of the frequent consequences of laziness is the matter of poverty and need. Why are so many people in need? Could it be that there's laziness in the background, slothful, sluggard? Proverbs chapter 6 verse 11 says, "So shall your poverty come on you like a robber, your need like an armed man. It'll come like a surprise. You won't believe it." Say, "Well, what did I do to deserve this?" Plenty. You've been lazy for quite a while. Wow. Turn to chapter 13 verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 4. It's almost like you're getting the message that God blesses the person who works hard. In Proverbs 13, 4, "The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." What a consequence. He desires, because he's lazy, he has zilch. He has nothing. Look at chapter 20, verse 4. Chapter 20, verse 4. "The sluggard, the lazy person, will not plow because of winter. Therefore, he will beg during the harvest and have nothing." The consequence, again, is poverty and need. Chapter 24, verse 34. "So your poverty will come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man." There's one other consequence, though, that our Lord Jesus pointed out that really, to me, is convicting. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. The consequences of laziness are sleeping when it's time to work and deterioration, thorns in the way, poverty and need. We could go on those matters. But one of the consequences Jesus pointed out of a lazy person is the loss of reward. The loss of reward. And I wonder how many believers are affected by this. Matthew 25, verse 26. What we have here is a parable, beginning at verse 14, of how a man went into a far country and called his servants, gave him their goods, and he gave different amounts to each one. To one guy he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now pick it up at verse 26. "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant! You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered what I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away.'" Now that's almost like a paradoxical proverb. You have to think about that a little bit. Wait a minute. Doesn't that seem unfair? It says the fellow who does not have... Well, wait a minute, he had 1 talent. What didn't he have? What he didn't have was any usefulness to the talent that he had. He didn't do anything with it. He was lazy. So the Bible says that from him who does not have, he doesn't have any productivity on what God gave him. Then it says, well, you take away what I even gave him. Wow. And to the person who went out, who had the 5 talents and worked hard, and now he had 10 when the master came, he said, well, let's give that one that guy didn't use. Let's give it to the fellow who has 10 because he really worked hard. Now, one of the difficulties about this parable, folks, and some of you have already started reading ahead, is verse 30. "And cast the unprofitable servant," who's described in verse 26, "as lazy. Cast him." There was no profit out of his life. "Cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Whoa. You can see that if you began a message with the talents representing salvation, that we have a fellow losing his salvation.
Verse
the talents represent salvation, then we in fact have a person with the ability to work to improve his salvation. So we walk into a performance orientation. If we argue that the talents are simply the rewards or the service that we do for God that brings rewards, involving the use of our gifts and all the resources God has given, how we use them for the Lord, which certainly is a valid interpretation. If we argue that, then the one fella who doesn't do anything with what God gave him is what? Just losing the reward, or is he lost in hell? Oh, I love your faces at a time like this. This is so delightful. This is one of the toughest this is one of those stories that they assign you when you go to seminary to figure out. And the teachers kind of smile. They just enjoy every minute of the pain. You know, either way you go, you're going to get in trouble on this one. If the talents represent the abilities and gifts that God has given us that we're supposed to use for the Lord, if we're so lazy that we haven't used what we got from the Lord, that text says we're going to wind up with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And folks, that's a description of hell. Does that mean you lose your salvation because you don't serve the Lord? That's pretty serious, isn't it? You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I can understand why you don't want to. But it still sits there staring us in the face. Is it not possible that we're trying to make this parable walk on all fours? Is it not possible that this servant has never been saved in the beginning? He's not one of the Lord's at all. What else did he use beside the word lazy in describing this servant? Anyone? Wicked, a term that Jesus Christ never uses of the saved, always of the lost. Listen carefully. I'll walk as carefully as I can. Laziness, in terms of doing what God wants us to do, is the number one mark of an unbelieving heart. Woo. No, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but laziness is a mark, Jesus said, a characteristic of an unbelieving heart. A wicked, lazy, unprofitable servant. And they won't get away with it. I looked at that and I said, well, wait a minute. Isn't there a challenge here for the believer? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. This is tough. Strong teaching. I'm not referring to mine. I'm referring to Jesus. It's strong teaching from Jesus, and we have to think it through carefully. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11... Now we're told here to really work. In fact, let's back up to verse 6. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor, his work. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or here's another category, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. When? For the day, presumably the day of God's judging hand, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Obviously, the wood, hay, and straw would be burned up. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. The precious metal would endure. But look at this. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire, or we might say with great difficulty. Wow. What thinkest thou, people of God? I would say, first of all, that if any of us get to heaven, it's by the skin of our teeth. What do you think? We barely made it because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, no merit of our own, that's for sure. Thank God he rescued us out of the pit of hell and set our feet on a solid rock. We all can say praise be to the Lord. But I think there's another thread here that not a single one of us who read this passage without any, unbelievable exegesis, just reading it like a little child, I think all of us walk away and say, you know, it's a little more serious serving the Lord than maybe I thought. God puts no premium on laziness, folks. There is a consequence to it. It's a loss of reward. Sometimes I think at night when I'm reflecting upon the day or a message or something else, I think often of standing in front of Jesus on the basis of what we read in the Gospels and hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I want to hear that. Don't you? I want to hear the Lord Jesus say that. Jesus said, "Work, for the night is coming when no one can work. Work while it's day." You still breathing? God still has a job for you. Amen, all you who are sick right now? Amen? What's the cure for laziness? Go back to Proverbs 6. And I give you just three simple things. God's cure. I'm sure from a human perspective we could make a long list. We could say, go out and get a job. But let me just give you what God says. The cure for laziness. Just write them down. One would be to learn from an ant. I had a Sunday school teacher who is now home to be with the Lord. Her name was Helen Goodall. She was great at illustrations. I can remember her on a little desk in our little elementary department bringing in a little can she had of ants in it. She put the ants out on the table. She said, "Learn from the ant." She made each of us file by the table. I looked at those things, boom, choom. I mean, you can imagine what a little boy wanted to do with those ants, you know. Learn from the ant? I mean, why not an elephant? I mean, why not a lion? I mean, give me something good, okay? An ant? You got to be kidding me. I guess the first thing that it suggests is the need of humility, doesn't it? And of how stupid we are. Learn from the ant. And it also suggests that in that little tiny creature that crawls along our sinks sometime, we want to get rid of them, that little tiny creature has a lot of intelligence that we don't seem to grasp as human beings. Learn from the ant. The Bible says, consider her ways and be wise. One day as a little boy, I was sitting on the watching the sidewalk. A little ant had gotten a big, I don't know, that thing the ant was carrying was like five times its size. And I was watching that little ant. So I put my finger up as a block, you know, and say the ant would get discouraged. No way. The ant turns around, tries to find the end. You know, you move your finger, it just keeps going back and forth. It never quits. Have you seen that? The only way to stop this thing is just go squish it. That ant just keeps going after it. It won't quit. And it's carrying a load bigger than it can possibly, on the basis of size, justify. And what do? We ask for lighter load. Hey, friends, what we ought to ask for are stronger shoulders to carry the burdens that we ought to be carrying. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And most of us say, no way, man, I got too much now. I need a break. Really? God knows when you need a break. There is a general tendency, not only in our secular society, but in our Christian communities, to do as little as possible as we can for the Lord and get away with it. And you know that and I know that. And the last thing I want to be in is a church that's got a legalistic approach to this. I don't want to hear a heavy trip on this, because I want to tell you, the positive side of serving the Lord is what's coming, folks. The joy of God in your heart also while serving the Lord. I'll tell you, serving the Lord till you get tired is a lot better than doing nothing well rested. A lot better. The joy of the Lord. The second thing I would tell you about the cure for laziness is not only learn from the ant, but from chapter 24, verse 32, observe the consequences on those who are lazy. Carefully observe the consequences. Proverbs 24:32 is the advice of God. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received what? Instruction. I looked at this field. I saw the consequences of somebody who's lazy. I sat there and I studied it well. And I received instruction. Lord, don't let that ever happen to me. Learn from the ant. Observe the consequences on those who are lazy. And number three. Turn to Romans chapter 12, please, verse 11. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. I've thought about this a lot in how to communicate it, but let me put it to you this way. If I would tell the entire congregation of believers here, now let's go out and serve the Lord, every one of us would agree. But if I said, the only ones that will be accepted by our Lord are the ones who serve with their whole heart, it might reduce the number. Total dedication, intensity, the whole heart. A lot of us just do what we can to get by. The least minimal standard that we think people will accept and think that we're doing good for the Lord. Listen, it's Him that we have to answer to. Serve with your whole heart. In Romans, I read chapter 12, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Don't lag behind in diligent service. Be fervent in your spirit, serving the Lord. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And with this, we're through. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 22 to 25 is a tremendous standard for us all in serving our wonderful Lord. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, looking around to see who's watching, as men pleasers, but in sincerity, singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong, namely does not serve the Lord with a whole heart, will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there's no partiality. You're going to suffer the consequences of laziness, that's for sure, or half-heartedness in the work of the Lord. It's going to come from the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily, with your whole heart. And do it unto the Lord, not to other people. Do whatever you can. And if somebody doesn't think it's as good as it should be, forget it. Don't listen to that. If you've done it with all your heart, you've done the best that you can, it's no disgrace to fail. Never. It's a sin, by the way, to do less than your best. If I've read anything tonight, I learned that. It's certainly a sin for me to do less than my best, and I'm going to experience the consequence of that. But if I've done the best I can and I fail, it is no disgrace to fail. One day, I shall be rewarded by my Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. Because I served Him with my whole heart. That's what that says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's close with prayer. Father, I want to thank You for Your wonderful Word. Thank You, Lord, for how You've convicted my own heart in studying this. It's so easy to be lazy, slothful, sluggish in our efforts for the Lord. To put things off. To want more direction when it's clear from You what we should do. Oh God, I pray that You would help us to serve You. Some of us have lost that perspective. We've been serving for others to please them so that they'd think well of us. God, give us a new commitment to Jesus Christ, our Lord, to serve Him with our whole heart. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.